Psalm 145, David. It's a psalm of David. It's a psalm of praise, and that's what I want to do is praise the Lord today in this message. He writes, I will extol thee, O my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the mighty might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand, and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the decree of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. In this, I wanted to read the entire psalm because it all just goes together, and I hate to let any of it pass or fall. But this morning, the verse that I want us to concentrate upon and the subject, the topic that's mentioned here, in verse number 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Let's pray. Father, your goodness towards us is great, and we praise your name for every blessing. We thank you, Father, that you've given yourself unto us. And there's no greater blessing than that in giving yourself to us through the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation through him. Help us, Lord, we might walk with you and obey you and hear you and trust you in all those things that you say. Lord, that our hope would be upon you and not the things of this world and this life, this flesh. But Lord, our hope indeed would be Christ, and we'd know it and be convicted of it and assured in it. And Lord, that we might herald forth your truth and your word, your gospel to this lost and dying world. Help us, Lord, as your people and your church here, that we just might walk with you. We might follow you as you've given us to do. Thank you, Father, for your blessings in that. We pray, Father, for those that are here this morning that are not saved. We pray, Father, that you might save them. Lord, you're able. We know, Father, that you can. There's not an issue or even a thought about that you cannot. Certainly, you can save. Jesus Christ has made it possible. And we pray, Father, that you would save. You're able. And Lord, we just pray that you would bless and work in hearts and souls only as you can. Thank you, Father, for your compassion. Lord, your pity upon us. And Lord, we praise your name for all that you've done for us. We ask and pray these things in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. And amen. In this latest event in my life with this about my kidney cancer and all that, it's really, you know, it's one of those points and milestones in life that as long as I have my right mind, I will not forget. It's really something. It has been said by many. And when the doctor comes in, and that day that my doctor came in, and he was nervous, he was visibly nervous and different because he had to tell me that he believed that I had cancer, and he looked to encourage me, and he looked to try to not make it a doom and gloom kind of thing. And as it is with all different kind of things in life, it's just different when it comes to you. And we go on and, you know, went through the course of things and followed up and just having to deal with the reality of that. Of course, hoping in the Lord, knowing that the Lord knew all about it. The Lord was a blessing, as we know. He revealed it early, you know, and it was contained. Nothing else affected as far as we know. And then it came finally, it was a long time before the surgery, and then it finally came the day of the surgery. It was a long time, you know, we thought it would be sooner. Really, in my naiveness, thought that they would work immediately on me. After all, it's me. But it was longer than what I thought. And then finally we get to the day of the surgery, and even before that, you know, folks are calling. The church here is praying. As we have public prayer, you brethren are praying. I know in the ladies' prayer class, indeed, they were praying for me. In the men's prayer class, they prayed for me, and publicly. Folks are calling. Folks are sending cards. They're letting me know that they have me in their thoughts and prayers. That's just really overwhelming. It's a blessing. But it really was overwhelming. And then it came the day of the surgery. And folks came. Folks came. You know, they came and were there. And family and brethren came and they prayed with me. They almost missed me with the way they do it there at Centennial. They almost missed me, but they came and they prayed for me. And then on I went to surgery. Everybody was just so nice. It was just, under the circumstance of what it was good as it could be. They put me on the table, and they gave me that shot to relax me, as they say. And then I woke up, and I could tell indeed that I'd been worked on. Everybody kept telling me how good I looked, and I was glad that I wasn't scary looking. But I couldn't do anything. And so then from that time going forward, of course, Clarissa is there. And she's there. She stayed there with me. Our children were there with me to the extent of what they could. Family, different ones that called, different ones that came by. Different ones that I knew they had said they had committed to pray, and they had, and the Lord had answered prayers. The surgery went very well, but I found myself indeed helpless. You know, if I wanted to get up and go very far, I could not go very far. I was weak, and I needed help. And thank God, praise God for family and loved ones and friends and brothers and sisters in Christ, and for the staff there. Everybody was looking to help. And I know some, it was their job, and they were, that's their work and their vocation, and they did so. But then as time went on, you know, was in the hospital and then got out of the hospital and then got home, you know, and that ride home, it was it went very well, but I wouldn't have wanted to do anything else. And got home and got there to the recliner, and in the hospital had to have help just to get up to be able to go to the bathroom, walk down the hallway, the attentiveness of Clarissa, and again our children, and then we get home and then start get more cards, get more calls. I couldn't come to the services, but I would listen over the system that we have, and we're here, you all praying for me. And then you sent food. And then you would stop by and visit. And others would stop by and visit, would call and inquire. And the Lord just really opened up my understanding to understand more and really well about compassion. I couldn't do much. And you all and others knew that. And you know what? You came and you did what you could to help me and to help us. And the Lord really burdened and spoke to my heart about compassion. I couldn't do, and we don't like the word pity. We think that the word pity is a negative kind of thing. That's the way that we take it. But you know what? It is that word pity that does describe the coming of compassion. Many gave of themselves to help. To help. You were compassionate. There were many that were compassionate towards me. And you know what? That's a hallmark and a mark of the people of God. Our Lord is compassionate. As it says here in verse number 8, the Lord is gracious. He favors the unfavorable. He pours out blessing, even as it says here in these passages in verse number 9, the Lord is good to all. You know, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. The Lord keeps oxygen going on this earth for all men, women, boys, and girls. And the seasons and the water and the rain and the growing of food. How is it that seed germinates and turns into a plant and then bears a fruit? How do you keep that going? I mean, it's a miracle of the Lord, and He does that for all. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. The Lord is gracious, verse number 8, and full of compassion. And that exhibition of compassion towards me, it was a great blessing, and I'm so thankful for that. But the Lord so impressed it upon my heart that it's because of His compassion that others are compassionate, especially the people of the Lord. To think that around the world I had people that had committed to pray for me. For me. And so we want to praise our Lord this morning, but just taking a look at our Lord's compassion towards sinners. That's what we want to do this morning. The testimony in the Old Testament of our Lord's compassion, a few verses speak about this, and a lot of these I'll just read to you. In Psalm 86, verse 15, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." You know, we live in a day that folks want to buck against the wrath of God, and they just don't want to have a God that can be full of wrath and mete out righteous indignation upon sinners. Many will go to the Old Testament and they say, "I just don't want a God that is going to destroy a nation, men, women, and children, and animals, and the inhabitants of all an area." The thing is, that's our Lord. He does work and judges them that way. But you know what? As the Lord has revealed Himself unto us more and more, He did work that way with His nation of Israel. But since her fall, and her going into the land, and now her fall, you know, the Lord doesn't use a direct way in that as He did in that day. But see, men want to hang on to that. The Lord is the judge of nations, and He will allow one nation or use one nation to come in upon another. But the grace of the Lord has revealed Jesus Christ and all the things that He has come and told us about and the way that God expects mankind to be. And the Lord says, love God Almighty and love your neighbor as yourself. You know, but Islam continues on in that way of defeating and conquering and maiming and killing and bloodshed. The Lord one day is going to come and He's going to put an end to all the wickedness and strife of man. And you know what? It won't be a continual, it won't be a millennial reign and an eternal existence where there'll be wars and all that. But war's going to be done. The Lord always takes and brings things to an end. He brings wickedness to an end. He brings war to an end. Because the Lord is about life, as our brother read this morning. He's about life. And He looks to give life and put an end to sin. In Psalm 111, verse 4, He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. The world doesn't want to look to those verses and see that. The psalmist wrote about the compassion of the Lord. In Psalm 112, verse number 4, the scripture says, Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. Our Lord is a compassionate God. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse number 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Indeed, He does not give us what we deserve. He's merciful. Because His compassions fail not. Micah 7, verse 19, He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and Thou will cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. You know, the Lord chose His nation, and He's going to bring her, isn't He? He's going to save her because He's a compassionate God. See, He looks on at Israel, and He loves Israel, and He pities her. In her sin, there is an aspect that the Lord is angry with Israel, and her sin is a great offense to Him. But in that, she, as the Lord, we hear the Lord Jesus Christ in the day of His ministry weeping over Jerusalem. He's a pitiful and compassionate God. He looks upon His nation. He looks upon sinners in pity, and is compassionate to them, as we'll see. The compassion of the only begotten Son of God. We see this testimony in the Old Testament about the Lord's compassion. And we want to come forward now into the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, having become a man. We know in the Scriptures, and as you walk through the Gospels, of Jesus' compassion on the hungry. Jesus was compassionate to the hungry. Was and still is, I believe. In Matthew 15:32, then Jesus called His disciples unto Him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with Me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. You know, some of those that had followed along with the Lord Jesus, they had been there the time that they had, but they didn't even realize that there would be a crisis in regards to them needing to eat in another day or two. But Jesus did. Jesus was thinking about the need of their bodies for food maybe even before they were. He's compassionate. He's compassionate to the hungry. We are called on, and I like the system that we have to help those that say that they're in need of food here at our church. I think it's a blessing of the Lord, you know, and our Lord is yet compassionate through the works of our church. As we give, we have a call. Somebody says they're hungry. We'll believe them. And then we take up money from the membership of the church and those who will give, and then buy the groceries that they need and take them to them. And, you know, the compassion is exhibited in that. And it's the Lord. It's the Lord. It's not us. Oh, yeah, we're involved, but it's the Lord working in us. Our Lord was compassionate. He said, the poor you have with us always. And you know what? When you want to do something for them, you always can. The church did so. The first church did so. Jesus evidently directed Judas to go and give money for the poor. Some need that they had. And we do now. And I'm thankful for the opportunities the Lord gives us in that. He's compassionate to the hungry. We also see in the Scriptures and the Gospels Jesus' compassion on the sick and diseased. It says in Matthew 14:4, And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and He healed their sick. They had folks that were ill. All kinds of different diseases and maladies. In Matthew 20:34, it's not just on one occasion, but in another. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed Him, talking about these that were blind. They needed to see. They couldn't see. And Jesus didn't say, "Oh, I've got preaching to do, fellas. Get out of the way here." But he was compassionate. He took the time and healed them. He's compassionate upon those that are sick and diseased. In Mark chapter 1, verse 41, Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, "I will, be thou clean," to the leper. Nobody would get around the leper. They would take the food and drop it off in a place or in a way where they wouldn't have to get near the leper or touch him. But Jesus went up and touched him. He was compassionate to these ones, and several that the scriptures mention. He was compassionate to them in this terrible disease that was just eating away their flesh. A type of sin in the scripture. The Lord Jesus disobeyed the law to be compassionate. Now, he's the lawgiver, so he can do whatever he wants to do. And the thing is he wasn't a show-off or flamboyant in it or you know, bucking against the law. But you know what? He disobeyed the law to do a greater thing. You and I can't do that, but the Lord does. And he healed. He healed. In Mark chapter 5, verse number 19, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath compassion on thee." The man, the demoniac at Gadara, a man there amongst the tombs crying out and going around naked and cutting himself. And they tried to, the locals had tried to bind him with chains and fetters and couldn't be tied down. The Lord shows up there and the man comes and he bows down before the Lord Jesus and worships him. "So what's your name?" Not talking to the man, but talking to those demons that possessed him. "So we're legion, for we're many." The man was terribly possessed by many, many demons. And the Lord is gone by the very presence of the Lord Jesus, the demons are subject to him. Right? You remember? And they beseech the Lord. They beg the Lord, "Don't cast us out into that water." And the Lord said, "Okay, go into the swine." And thousands of them, if I remember right, hundreds, thousands. And then they go off down in the ocean and are choked and destroyed. The man, when the inhabitants of those men that were keeping the swine go back and tell the folks in their town, come back, they see the man clothed in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus and learning from him. The man says Jesus is getting loading up and getting ready to go. He doesn't go into the town, but that's what he came for. He made the trip across Galilee for the sake of that man. If you're here and you're saved, Jesus Christ made the trip from glory down here to become a man for 33 years so that you might be redeemed. He did that for you. You. There's no other way for it to have been done. It took the exact same thing. The exact same thing that it took for all the saints that have been and will be saved is the same thing it took for you, the individual, me. Oh, he's compassionate as the Lord, if you will, just from our understanding. We know about the Lord's plan eternally. But as the Lord looked down on heaven, the Scripture says he considered and he marveled, I think is the connotation there in the Scriptures, that there was no intercessor among men for men. And our Lord was compassionate and came that he might be an intercessor and a savior and more. The man wants to go with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, "No, you stay here. There needs to be a witness of me in this place. You go home and tell your friends and your family that the Lord hath had compassion on thee." And I love the wording that's there. The man went back and he told them what Jesus had done for him. What Jesus. He is our Lord. We see in the Scriptures and the Gospels about Jesus' compassion on the bereaved and the lonely. The woman at Nain, whose only son had died, and they're carrying him out to bury him. And Jesus is coming into the town, and he sees what's at hand. And he sees this widow woman whose only son had died. And when Jesus says in Luke 7:13, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he told her son to raise up. And you know what he did? The Lord knows all about death. The Lord knows all about the sorrow of death. And we, as we experience the death of loved ones, indeed we can sympathize with others who have lost loved ones. But you know what? There's no one that can sympathize greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's compassionate. You know, if I had all power, if I had all power over all the universe and everything that there is, seen and unseen, you know, I don't reckon I would be too compassionate. But our Lord is. Praise be to Him, He is. We see in the Scriptures about Jesus' compassion on the leaderless and the wondering and the ignorant. In Mark chapter 6, verse number 34, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. You know, the Lord comes out and he sees this crowd, and he knows what's going on in their hearts. He knows what's going on amongst them. And he's looking on them, and so they're just like a bunch of sheep. Milling around and wandering around and don't know if they're coming or going. So y'all sit down here. Let me teach you some important things. Let me teach you some spiritual things that'll do you well and last you. We think about the Sermon on the Mount. You know, the Lord sets a lot of things straight on the Sermon on the Mount. Our thinking is weird and erroneous, and the Lord says, no, I say unto you that regarding this thing, it's this way. He's compassionate in that he instructs us. He teaches us many things. Wisdom and understanding and knowledge from the Lord are great blessings indeed. We see Jesus' compassion on the possessed. As we mentioned about the demoniac at Gadara. But also, you remember in Mark chapter 9, when the Lord went up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, and came down, and the other apostles were trying to cast the demon out of this man's son. And they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. They couldn't accomplish it. Jesus goes on and goes over there and asks about what's going on and why the Pharisees and those that were around there, you know, looking on at it too, and kind of badgering the disciples there and their inability, I believe, to cast out the demon out of this boy. It says in Mark chapter 9, verse number 22, the man, the father's testimony, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. We've been wrestling this thing for a long, long time. This demon that's in my son is trying to kill him. You can imagine the grief. We can't imagine the grief. We just try to stretch to do so. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. What did the man want? He wanted his son relieved of that demon. He wanted his son back, didn't he? Have compassion on us. And the Lord says, you know what? If you believe, everything's possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. I want it to be so. Nobody else has been able to. If you can do anything, have compassion on us. You know what? The Lord did. The Lord did. He's compassionate. In the midst of the greatest work that needed to be done for mankind, the fulfilling of the Lord's gospel so that he might be the Redeemer and the Messiah for us, along the way he cared and was compassionate. And we've seen at different times in our studies about the Lord's care for the disciples, the Lord's care for the sinners that are putting him to death. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He knows the wrath that they're of God, that they're storing up against themselves. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's compassionate. We come in the Gospels and we see about Jesus' compassion on sinners. In Matthew chapter 18, I want us to look over here at this passage, and we'll not spend a long time on it. I trust that you know about it. Here in Matthew chapter 18, the Lord comes and tells about sin. They ask him about the who's greatest in the kingdom. The Lord does that with the child in the midst. He tells about the terribleness of sin, and if that bodily mutilation could be the answer for sin, it would be well worth it to do it. That's how bad our sin problem is. Bodily mutilation won't do it, okay, as we've preached even in recent times. The Lord tells about how it is amongst men with their sheep. And, you know, the cattle farmer is always interested most in the one that's got away, right? And that's the way the Lord is. And then, seeking and saving that which is lost. And then trespasses and how we are to forgive. And then Peter says, I want to know what the number is, Lord. Seven times in a day, that'll work it, won't it? You know, about every 2 hours or so in a day. That's it, isn't it? You know, seven's the number of perfection. The Lord says 490 in a day, every 2 or 3 minutes. Be forgiving. And then the Lord says this in verse 23, therefore the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, in payment to be made. The man had an unpayable debt, a talent, 60 to 120 pounds. What a man could carry for a day, we understand a talent to be. 10,000 of them is what he owed. I mean, 10,000 of 60 pounds of anything is a lot. Make it gold, make it silver. We don't know what it was. But it was a lot. It was unpayable in a lifetime. That's what he owed. And you know what? He went in verse 26 and he said to the Lord, have patience with me and I'll repay thee all. And it was laughable, but he said, don't sell us off and give me an opportunity to pay. And you know what it says here? And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. He said, you're free of it. It's done. It's erased. The man goes out and he has one of his fellow servants that owes him 100 pence. 100 days worth of work. It's a big chunk, but it's payable. Certainly in a lifetime. You know what? He grabbed him by the throat and he said, you pay me what you owe me now. And the man couldn't pay. And so he threw him into prison. Word gets around back to the Lord. And the Lord says, call him in here. He said, you desired me, you know, and I forgave you that debt that you couldn't pay. I forgave you the debt that you could not pay. And you wouldn't forgive your fellow servant a debt that ultimately he could pay? And it tells about what he delivered, how the Lord delivered him. And again, this is an aspect of the kingdom, verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened. And he says here, and it says here, the Lord says here in verse number 33, shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity, compassion on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. Listen, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto. You know what? You and I have been forgiven an unpayable debt. If you're here and saved, you have been forgiven an unpayable debt, 10,000 talents. Can't touch it in a lifetime. Can't touch it in a thousand lifetimes. There's nothing we have to pay. That's what the Lord's done for us. He's had compassion on us. The man was repentant, wasn't he? That's what we see here. He was repentant. He said, Lord, don't sell us off. I owe it. I'm guilty of it. And understand, it's not that we can pay anything for our salvation. It is unpayable. We need the compassion and forgiveness of our Lord. He's been greatly compassionate towards us. And you know what? If you're here and you're not saved, He has compassion towards you. He says, repent of your sins. Admit before God you're guilty and you can't pay. You deserve what the Lord does towards sinners that are unrepentant and bear their sin on past this life into eternity. That's what you deserve. That's what all of us deserve. And repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. His payment for your sins. Another thing that we see here, just as an aside, if we've been forgiven the unpayable debt, shouldn't we be forgiving and compassionate as our Lord is? What is there that I should not forgive that my neighbor, my fellow servant, or my fellow man would do to me that I should not forget? If the Lord forgave me the unpayable debt, who should I not forgive? And be like my Lord. Compassion upon sinners. You know the account in Luke chapter 15 about the prodigal son. He went out, spent all of his father's living, was out there and was going to eat pig slop, and remembered the goodness of the father. And you know what? The father's looking for him as he comes. In Luke chapter 15, verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. You know, as the Lord saves us and saves sinners, you know, he doesn't hold sinners that he saves an arm length away. But our Lord loves us and embraces us in salvation. He's not a God far off. He's a Lord very near. Very near. So much so that He lives within us, as the Scripture tells us. In Hebrews, it tells us about a priest, that the way it needs to be with a priest, and our Lord is the full complete and eternal fulfilling of it, that the priest needs to be one who can have, in Hebrews 5:2, who can have compassion on the ignorant. And ignorant we are. We just don't know. And on them that are out of the way. And we are indeed way out of the way. What is it Isaiah said about us? All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But you know what? In spite of that, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He's compassionate towards sinners. A priest needs to have compassion on the ignorant and them that are out of the way, for that he himself is also compassed with infirmity, and the Lord became a man. Jesus made a commendation of compassion, didn't he? You remember the account of the man who was robbed and left for dead in the ditch, and then the Samaritan that came and helped him. But a certain Samaritan, the Lord says in Luke 10:33, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Remember the lawyer? Who is my neighbor? Yeah, anybody else that's a human being is your neighbor, our neighbors. And the Lord indeed has been neighborly to us, hasn't he? He's had compassion upon us. And then our Lord's commands to be compassionate. In Zechariah 7, verse number 9 through 10, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother. And oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, nor the stranger, nor the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. Be compassionate and be good. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 8, finally be all of one mind, children of God and His churches. Be all of one mind, the mind of Christ, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. And in this thing, this latest thing that's come about to me, you have been. And it's a testimony unto the Lord. It's a representation of the Lord. And I praise Him for it. In 1 John chapter 3, verse number 17, "Pursue whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" Our compassion on others is a telling forth and a witness of our Lord within. And then we come to Jude, verse 22. And Jude, verse number 22. We as the children of God are called, especially here in this church, we are called unto this. Verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Remember His love for us. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Not giving us what we deserve, but indeed He's merciful to us. We look to be with Him forever. And if some have compassion, making a difference. Jesus saw us indeed as we were ignorant and wandering, sheep going astray. And you know what? This world is full of people just like we were before the Lord rescued us. And they may need help in some ways. They may need food. But you know what they need most is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord used somebody to bring it to us. And we need to be compassionate and make a difference with some others. Make a difference with others. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. He's not speaking about us saving people. We don't save souls. But you know what? Giving them the word of life indeed may be unto their salvation. And they need to hear. They need to hear. If you're here and you're not saved, out of compassion, we declare unto you, as our brother writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 20, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are His present-day representatives on this earth, sent by Him for this purpose. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech or beg you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. Be reconciled to God." Oh, we pray that those that are here and not saved would experience the compassion of our Lord and the salvation of their soul.